We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. In the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM. Joe and Evan on the Fan. Joe and Evan on WFAN.
All right, 10:03 on the Fan, and a very good Wednesday morning to you. The Midday Show, Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. We're here till 1 o'clock. Mike's on, Francesa on the Fan will come your way. Dove Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. So, I didn't think that I was going to be upset last night, bro, watching this stupid draft lottery, okay? I really didn't think I would be upset. I fully expected the Knicks would not move up. They never do. I figured, all right, they're going to be seven. I'll live with seven. When I saw them, actually, and I know it's only one spot, but when I saw them drop to eight, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then it's compounded, and I feel for you, okay? Because I expected the Celtics to get the number one pick because that's the way it had to go. It was going to go that way. So I felt for you with the Nets and all of that and all that nonsense. But I was really, really ticked off when I saw the Lakers, who if they fall out of the top three, don't even get a pick. That they go, they wind up being number two. Oh man, it was brutal. I couldn't sleep. I really have to tell you, I couldn't sleep.
Oh, you couldn't sleep. Oh, okay. You went back one freaking pick.
I understand.
I mean, come on.
But you knew the Celtics were getting one.
Forget about me for a second. Forget about the Nets. We'll get to that. You've even said with the NFL and with the NBA, you got to pick the right guy.
You do.
So what the hell is the difference between seven or eight?
Because
what's the difference?
The difference is that can they move up like a slot?
You had your one time.
I had 32 years ago. I mean, when is the statute of limitations? That's what I hear from the people that, with the Jets, too. I mean, it's almost 50 years. Oh, you won one 50 years ago.
But in fairness.
I mean, come on.
In fairness, the odds of you moving up, because the only way you could have moved up was 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, no, I know.
Okay?
I know.
The odds were like 15%. They weren't high.
We just leave them at 7.
And think about this. The team that moved up, the team that jumped up, had to swap out anyway.
No, I understand.
In the Sacramento Kings. They had to swap it back to Philly.
As Ernie put it very well, it was a lose night.
Oh, it was a loser night.
Everybody concerned.
Yes.
If you were a Knicks fan, you lost. If you were a Net fan, you lost. It was lose.
You know what I knew, and
business
I mean this.
Business as usual in the NBA.
Absolutely.
That's what it was.
I mean this with peace and love and with all due respect. And maybe Boomer and Carton already mentioned this. I don't know. Al Dukes is here. He could tell me if you did. I knew you guys were screwed when Mike said he had a good feeling
you told
about
me
the
that.
Lottery.
See, I didn't even know that. Man, if you would have told me that, I would have bet the ranch.
And I love Mike, but how do you have a good feeling when there's a 15% shot?
Why? Because Clyde was there in a crazy suit?
He was going to bring the love.
Do you think that's going to change anything? Come on.
But when I heard that,
stop.
As I was listening
to
Mike yesterday.
I wish I
would have
known that. You should have texted me. Let me
I didn't want to annoy you.
Well,
it would have
annoyed
you.
I would have at least been prepared for the worst.
Oh, you would have been the heads right. up you're talking about.
I was waiting
about.
For 10. I'm sitting there. And I figured if they were going to get as worse a deal as they could, because they couldn't go any more than 10, right?
And that was the least.
Right.
Yeah.
So I knew they weren't getting 14. Yeah. Alonzo Mourning sitting there in Miami getting, was it 14? Whatever it is. Yeah. 13, 14?
14, 14.
What a disaster.
Yeah.
And then I got to hit the owner of the Celtics, Wick. What's his name? WikiLeaks?
WikiLeaks.
Whatever his name. I got to hear him say, it's a good time to be a Celtic fan. Well, hold on. Where have you been? I mean, I understand you're probably too young for Bill Russell. When has it not been a good time?
They had a couple of down years
they
in the
did. 2000s. They had some bad years when they had Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker, and all they did was make the playoff. I mean, give me a break.
I
mean, when is it a bad time to be a Celtic fan?
And think about this. They win a game seven.
Right.
They win the lottery.
Oh.
Game one of the conference finals.
Sure.
LeBron, if you're listening, no mercy.
Please.
No mercy.
Just lay the wood to this team.
Oh, completely.
I don't want any
game close. I want you to destroy them.
You know, this is one area where you and I, basketball, we're completely against each other.
Yeah.
This is one area where you and I completely agree.
Full agreement.
I mean, I cannot stay. You know, I am back to hating the Celtics again.
And I'll tell you something else. I know the Lakers shouldn't mean anything to us. And I like Magic.
God,
I respect Magic. To see that smile yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that big smile. Like, he knew it. Like,
he knew.
Of course. We're going to pick in the top three. Joe, I would have paid anything to see Magic's reaction when the Lakers had to hand that pick to Philadelphia.
Yeah,
but of course not.
No.
Of course not. And here's the thing.
And Philly still got the third pick.
Well, yeah.
Not that it ever works for them, because it never does.
And they didn't even win the third pick. They swapped it from Sacramento.
Yeah.
They're the ones that moved up to three.
It's unreal.
I wasn't sure I was going to watch this garbage last night.
It was must see for me.
But after like 2 or 3 hours of flipping between Fox News and CNN,
enough of that. Oh, my God.
I said, let me give myself a break. All right, let's go from one mess to another.
There's you can watch.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
So I flip over and I watch, and I'm very calm. I really am. I'm very calm. And I see you guys went down a spot, and I was like, all right, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's one spot. I see the Lakers got their pick. I'm annoyed. And as soon as that moment happened where the Celtics won the lottery, I just had this pit in my stomach.
Yeah.
I know it's been years in the making. And then Paul Pierce is such a piece of you-know-what. This guy.
How much do you dislike that guy?
Oh, I can't stand him.
This guy
goes on Twitter and tweets, and look what I leave behind for the Celts on my way out. The number one pick, and then a bunch of stupid emojis. Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Great.
Cool. Appreciate it.
Oh,
thank you for going to a basketball team. Yeah, you did a little bit in the playoffs. I'm going to be honest. You were okay in the playoffs. You made some big plays. And you're sitting there on Twitter, you know, saying, hey, Boston, look what I gave you. Well, what'd you give us? The hell did you give us?
Heartburn.
Don't tweet. Don't say anything. I get it. You're Boston. You're a Boston guy. But for us 56 Net fans, the last thing we want to hear is this jackass going on Twitter talking about
Here's the one thing you got over to say. You actually never lost to them in the playoffs.
Damn right.
That's the one that I will say that.
Yeah, great.
And I'm just saying.
Great.
You know? It was a horrific night.
But you know what I did?
And then I got to see, I love Frank. And Frank hates the Knicks.
Frank Isola?
Yeah.
What'd he do? He's coming on, by the way, at 10:40.
Well, I'm gonna get on him for this.
All right.
And I love Frank. He's a great guy. I know him a long time. I've been reading his, you know, since I was a little kid. All right? And all of that, you know.
Yeah.
Not really. But whatever.
I got you.
And I know he hates the Knicks, and I understand. I get it. I get the whole deal, why you can't stand him and all of that. I get it. But I got to read the beginning of his column today. Oh, if Red Auerbach was alive, he'd be so happy today. Because Red, who stuck it to everybody in the league, just like Danny Ainge is sticking it to him now, stuck it to the entire league for years, would have been so happy that he's sitting there with the number one pick when his team is good, and the Knicks, you know, got hosed again. If you want to say hosed.
You didn't get hosed.
Well, you know what I mean.
Stop it.
I don't mean hosed, but that's not the right word. But that they didn't win again.
Right. I mean, the odds were stacked against you.
And Red would love it. And Red just
love
it.
Yeah, Red would be happy.
Red, wherever he is, up in heaven there in that green heaven he lives in, okay? As he sits there, you know, fondling his 9 championship rings, he is smiling down today.
Of course he is.
Smiling down.
And you know what?
All's right with the world.
And guess what? Guess what, everybody? This is going to happen again next year. This is going to
happen.
They got
your pick again.
Yes.
They got it again next
year? Yes.
What, they got right to swap next year?
No, this was right to swap. Next year, they just have it.
Oh, so you have no number one pick.
Nothing. Nada. So Danny Ainge, who robbed Billy King, and Billy, all right? I needed therapy last night. So my therapy was
he makes Scott Layden look like he was
like Red, basically.
Right.
That's what he makes him look like.
That's exactly right.
I go to Billy King's Twitter account, and of course, you know, he's retweeting everything about politics. That's fine. You know what? And this will really hurt Billy where it matters, so I want to do it without, like, cursing or saying anything below the belt. Billy King should work in the Trump administration. You fit right in, Billy. See, that stings him. Ooh, that hurts, Billy. Sorry. But you're blocking everybody on Twitter because they say bad stuff about your dumb trade. So I went to Billy King's mentions.
Oh, he's blocking everybody on Twitter?
Blocking everybody.
Billy King.
So I go to Billy's mentions just to see what people are saying. Now, a lot of people went over the top, and that's not right, okay? Really, you should keep it clean. I get that. But I used that as therapy, just reading what people wrote to Billy King.
And he blocked everybody.
I mean, that's what
I
heard.
Did you send him a nice little tweet?
I wouldn't even mention him. No, I would mention him by name. I wouldn't even give his Twitter account a plug. I wouldn't do it.
Why should you?
But, I mean, there were some good ones, like, you're bleeping trash. You're the worst GM on the face of the planet. Mm. Blank you. Block me again. Blank. Worthless. Blank. Blank. I mean, that's what it was, and that was my therapy session last night, watching people as frustrated as I am, though I did not curse at them.
Right.
I hit them where it hurts.
This is why last night's a perfect example of why I want no part of Twitter, because last night, my thought, as I'm watching this disaster unfold, okay?
Right.
I'm watching this disaster unfold. I'm saying to the words that would have been coming out of my mouth, the impulse that I had immediately, just, you know, forget it. I'd be out of a job.
I was going to say.
I wouldn't be working.
You would have been fired last
forget
night.
Forget about it.
No, and that's the key. That's why anything I said about Billy King, I kept very clean. I kept professional. All right. The only thing I'm doing under the belt is hurting him with the politics, because I know he's very, very anti-Trump. So I think he just fits right. I think he should work for him. So I want to get him where it hurts.
Yeah.
But that's classy, right, Joe? I'm not going below the belt too much.
No,
just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yep.
But. It was so bad.
Bro, I honestly, seriously, I really do feel bad. You know, I don't dislike the Nets. I really don't. You know I don't. And I really do. I feel bad for you.
Well, I appreciate that.
I really do. I know you hate the Knicks, but I don't have any hatred toward the Nets. I guess it's because there really has never been a real rivalry between the two teams.
A mini one, but
when one team is good, the other one stinks.
Exactly.
And when the other team was good, the other one stunk.
The only time they were both really good were a couple years ago, and the Nets couldn't hold up their end of the bargain when they lost to the Bulls in the first round.
That's
but both
great.
Had a lot of wins.
Right.
You guys went over 50.
Right.
Nets won close to
49,
50.
49, yeah.
So it was... But other than that, you're right.
Yeah, you know, one time they played them a couple times in the playoffs. But both times, I mean, the Knicks were clearly the better team, and then the Nets were clearly the better team.
Now, I want you to think about this for a second.
Ridiculous.
I want you to think about this, all right? And we're going to get this after the break, okay, because Dove needs to play commercials. But I really want you to give this thought.
He's getting nervous. Look at
he's getting a little nervous.
He's getting a little shaky.
I want you to think about this. Danny Ainge.
Exactly.
Danny Ainge last night.
I can't stand Danny Ainge.
Well, Danny was very open.
I couldn't stand him when he played, and I can't stand him anymore now.
Yeah. He was very open about the possibility of trading this pick. That is out there, and that's a possibility. Okay? That, it, you know, he'll prop. Well, no. But I want you to think about the possibilities of a big trade between the Celtics and the New York Knicks, because it could be out there. So I want you to think about it.
I can't see it.
I want you to think about it.
I'll tell you why I can't see it.
I want you to ponder it.
Unless they're getting Porzingis.
Well.
And Jackson should just be, you know, I won't even get into it if he ever even entertained that. What in the Celtics could not get anything to fleece that they could fleece the Knicks for?
That. That's exactly what it would have to be. So
that's the only one.
That, well, of course. There's nothing else.
Right.
Remember, the Detroit Pistons didn't win the lottery during that incredible draft of 2003, but they did pick... Three.
Was it that Darko Milicic?
That was the Darko year. Or two. Didn't they pick two
and
pass on
Melo? I think two, and then Melo went three to Denver.
Right. And they passed on Dwayne Wade, and they passed on Chris Bosh.
Right.
And I remember a buddy of mine who's a big Piston fan defended what they did, saying, look, we're trying to win a championship. We're not looking at someone that's really going to change the way we play. And obviously, bringing in a guy like Melo, it would change things dramatically. It turned out to be a horrible decision. I think Danny Ainge is a very smart guy. And I don't necessarily think Danny is going to trade that number one overall pick, but I think he's going to shop it, because I think he understands that Isaiah Thomas is a guy that they're probably going to bring back, despite concerns about his defense and size, on a max contract. And even though Markelle Fultz may turn out to be better, or Alonzo Ball may turn out to be better, I don't necessarily know if Markelle Fultz is the ideal fit for a team trying to win an NBA championship right now. But I think Danny's going to explore all options. I think he will explore trading this pick. I don't know if he will. I don't know if the Pelicans are making Anthony Davis available. You know what I mean? So I ask you, would you consider trading Porzingis for the number one overall pick?
I would not do that. No, I would not. I know what I got already with Porzingis. He's only 21. I understand the issues this past year. He didn't have a great year and what happened after the season and all that. The not exit interview he didn't show up for. You know, all of that, complaining about the team. I get it all. There's no way I'm making that deal. I am not trading with the Boston Celtics, because they will get fleeced. There is no way. No. I want no part. Phil Jackson really should just resign if he's even thinking about trading with them, because they only make trades when they can fleece people. That's what Red Auerbach did. That's what Ainge did to your team. And that's what he's looking to do to anybody else out there.
Oh, Joe.
I would not touch that deal.
I'll give you the ultimate.
Would not touch it.
The ultimate fleecing was Marcus Thornton for Isaiah Thomas.
There you go.
That happened.
No, that's what I'm saying. No.
That was a real-life trade.
That's all they ever did. They're thinking of fleece. I mean, how'd they get Robert Parrish? How'd they get him? How'd they get, I mean, we could go right on down the line. How'd they get Larry Bird? I mean, they just fleece people left and right.
So would you be more open to doing a Porzingis pick trade with another team?
No, I'm not trading
Porzingis. You don't want to trade him at all? Okay.
No.
Because I thought you were open to it a few weeks ago.
No. I was never open to that.
Oh, okay.
Never, ever, ever.
Maybe I heard you wrong.
You did.
All right.
No, I'm not trading him.
I understand.
You know?
Yeah, I would probably lean towards what you're saying and holding on to him. I think he's got great talent. I think he's got a chance to be a tremendous player.
I'm going to say this again about anybody that deals with the Celtics, you know, beware of what you're dealing with here. Because they don't make any trades where they're not coming out on top.
It's the way it's worked.
All right?
It's the way it's worked out.
That's just what they do. So you got to be if you're trading with them, you got to be out of your mind. Just leave, let them pick Fultz or Ball or whoever they're going to pick and just leave them alone. That's it.
Toll-free number brought to you by Mohegan Sun, Connecticut. William in Harlem.
William, how are you?
Hi, gentlemen. Good morning. How's everything?
William, how could it be better? You've been listening to the show. How come you here? It's great.
Man, I'm a Knicks fan. Over here.
William. You're a lucky man.
Yeah, I'm the luckiest fan there is out there, isn't it, Joe?
Yes.
We go from 7th to 8th, and then the Lakers go ahead.
Well,
they bench two healthy players. They get to keep their pick for this year and next year. How about that?
Yeah, well.
Talking about Celtics fleecing everybody, the Lakers do the same thing. It seems like those two franchises.
The Lakers
get away
don't.
With
that is, yeah, not, that is not, true. Not true.
The Lakers
because,
are not the Celtics.
Because, William, that trade, that we're talking about was an awful, awful trade. I mean, it was the Steve Nash move, the Dwight Howard move.
They made
it's
some
all
bad
backfired.
Moves.
That's why
exactly
they
right.
are where they are.
Yes,
so
yes.
They got lucky yesterday. You're right.
Yep.
They got lucky that the trade didn't become worse than it already was.
Yep.
Yeah, so now they get to rebuild much faster than the Knicks do. So it's
yeah,
like,
but you know
right.
what? Let me say this about the Lakers. Look, they so far the guys they've picked have not exactly with these lottery picks have not exactly been franchise players. I mean, let's be honest about it.
Yeah, not yet. But I mean, there's time.
I mean, there is time. But I mean, so far, I mean, you know, not yet.
Let's go to Rob in Yorktown.
Rob.
Hey guys, what's going on?
How are you, Rob?
What's up?
Listen, Joe, I'm a little younger than you, so my favorite team of all time, the one I remember even rooting for the first time in my life were the 69-70 Knicks. And
right.
I've been a Knicks fan ever since. But my question to you guys is, I there's two things I don't understand. I've heard the word, when it comes to the NBA lottery, I've heard the word fix. That's first of all. And the other thing is, I don't understand how this lottery works anyway. Like, in other words, why doesn't the worst team get the first pick?
Because they don't want teams tanking.
Because they think teams are going to tank and, you know, lose games purposely to get the number one pick.
Yeah, NHL does the same thing, by the way. No, the NHL. No,
the NFL does not, thank God.
The NHL has a lottery, too. I don't know how their odds break down. I've never really.
The Devils are the first pick, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they have a lottery, too. But the reason they have it is they don't want teams tanking.
Yep.
And the way it works is if you have the worst record, you're given ping pong balls, and you'll either pick 1, 2, 3, or 4, and it goes, it continues on.
I would love to believe that the fix is in. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I would love to believe that.
Yeah.
You know? I would love to believe that the league said, okay, you know, we're going to make sure the Celtics and Lakers get the first two picks. I would love to believe that. But I can't believe that anymore. I do think the first one for Ewing was fixed for the Knicks. I do think that. And that's my team. And I do think that. But I don't think that happens anymore.
In fact, what people are missing.
As much as I'd love to believe it could.
If we actually go by facts in this post-fact world we live in, if we go by the numbers and the facts, the team that got the biggest help last night was Philadelphia by way of Sacramento.
Yes.
Because the Sacramento Kings, who had the Sixers had a right to swap with them, that's why it goes to Philadelphia. But Sacramento coming into the night had about a 9% shot of picking in the top three. That's a very low number, and they jumped into the top three. So they were the team that jumped up greatly. Now, that benefited Philadelphia because Philadelphia had the right to swap. The Lakers were third. The Celtics were one. So the Lakers moved up only one spot, and Boston remained where they were. So when you look at the Celtics and Lakers, there was nothing crazy here. And the team that got hosed the most were the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah,
because the Suns were two, and they dropped to what?
Four.
Four?
Yeah.
So just based on facts and numbers, the Sixers, by way of the Kings, benefited the most, and the Suns were hurt the most. Mike in Holtsville.
Mike.
Hello?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, question. Why is Curtis Grandison and Lucas Duda still in the lineup?
They are the biggest bombs they can put out there.
Granderson
right
had
a home
run
last night. He also had a walk with the base.
He batted 150.
All right.
He just one hit a week.
Yeah, Juan Lagares.
Is this their biggest problem? Seriously, what is the Mets' biggest problem? Granderson or the god-awful pitching staff? How about the god-awful pitching staff? How about that? How about that?
First, let's get rid of this trash.
Let's get some pitches here. You know what? I'm really, seriously, Curtis Granderson and Lucas Duda are not the biggest problems the Mets have. They're not.
No.
I'm sorry.
No. And I think the thing with Granderson, who was dropped to the 8-hole last night, and like you said, hit a home run and drew a bases loaded walk against Zach Greinke.
Yes.
Granderson, I believe you look at his numbers, you look at his career, and you could make the case, you know what?
That he's going to start hitting at some point.
Yes. And also the other options in the outfield, unless you're moving a non-outfielder there right now, is Juan Lagares, who hasn't hit.
At all.
Juan Lagares has not hit. I agree about Duda, and I'll tell you why.
Because you want to see TJ play.
No, it's not even that. It's not TJ. It's the fact that Lucas Duda is a bad defensive first baseman.
Oh, how about the play last night? Did it again.
And a lot of that was on Neil Walker. But, of course, Lucas Duda made an awful throw, which reminded everybody about the World Series. Lucas Duda is an incredibly streaky hitter. Incredibly streaky, and he's not that good defensively. It's not even about Rivera, Joe. It's about Dominic Smith.
Nah, just,
Call the kid up.
No,
let him play.
That's fine.
I'm sick of Duda.
That's
I really am. And luckily, this is it for him because he's gone at the end of the year.
Yeah. Yep.
But Granderson, I think when you look at A, the options, and B, the fact that he has a track record of getting hot as the season goes on, I have no problem with him playing. But keep this in mind. Once Yoenis is back, Grandy's done.
Yeah.
He's done. He's not going to play.
Yeah.
Because Cespedes will play left, Conforto in center.
And Bruce is playing.
Yeah.
Even though Bruce hasn't hit on his road trip, but even so.
But the other option to keep Granderson alive if he starts hitting is moving Jay Bruce back to first base.
Could do that.
That's a possibility.
Could do that.
Benjamin in Brooklyn.
Benjamin.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Benjamin.
What's going on? So I'm actually, you know, bipartisan. I'm a Raptors fan. So I'm going to –
You're the guy that's the big Raptors fan.
Yeah, I'm the Raptors fan. We obviously suck, but I just want to say one thing about
the playoffs. So what are you talking about?
I know, but you know,
they're going nowhere. You know that, though.
I understand
they've hit the dead end.
You know,
it's over.
You know, I wouldn't use the word suck, especially when you're talking to a Knicks fan and a Net fan.
Yeah.
I just want to mention. I want to mention one point. Like, I just want to talk about, like, you know, I live in New York. When the whole Boston Nets trade happened in 2013, I believe. I remember Bill Simmons. I remember a lot of people were saying we're very much for the trade. I just want to mention one thing.
But Bill Simmons is a huge Celtic fan. You understand?
He was against the trade. He screamed and yelled on ESPN during the draft how awful it was.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, but I want to mention one thing. Like, the Raptors fleeced the Knicks, right? We traded Andrea Bargnani for the number one pick. Last year, we got the seventh pick overall. And that pick was, obviously, the great Jacob Porto, who is terrible. So the point is that everything had to break terribly for the Nets, for the Celtics to be getting this pick.
Benjamin,
even a decent team.
I admit this. I don't care. I was for the trade. You were for the trade. You even said, you know what? It's worth it.
Yeah,
if the Nets are decent, which I thought they would be, because I did not think Darren Williams was a complete dog. I did not think that. Call me crazy. I actually thought at the time, wow, here's an elite point guard playing for the Nets. That's what I thought, because that's what he was in Utah. But what happened was, A, they didn't win with those guys. They capped out at a game 5 loss in the second round to Miami. That was it. And the other thing was, they became very bad very quickly because Darren Williams was awful. Joe Johnson started to age. And they became a terrible team. And yes, you're right. Everything broke wrong. And the other thing that broke wrong is, remember, this year was a right to swap. Okay? Which means the Nets were getting Boston's pick. If the Celtics weren't so damn good, maybe that pick they got back at least would be halfway decent. Like, what if the Celtics were in the lottery too? I would be upset not having the number one overall pick.
But at least you'd be in the lottery.
But at least I'd be in the lottery like Sacramento was yesterday. Philadelphia swapped with them, but at least the Kings kept the pick, and then they tacked on the New Orleans pick from the DeMarcus Cousins trade. So he's right. A lot of people, and they should admit it because I admit it, should admit how wrong they were about that trade. And Bill Simmons, I don't know if he talks about it. I know he was on with Mike yesterday. I don't know if he admits it, but Bill Simmons was a raving lunatic when that trade was made on ESPN. Mm. And that's fine. Look, we're sports fans. And I like Bill because Bill's a big fan. He's a Boston guy, but he's a fan. And as fans, we're going to be wrong a lot. We're not paid millions of dollars to make decisions like a certain general manager that just lit fire to this franchise and ran out of town like Billy King. Let's blame the Russians. Isn't that basically what he's doing right now?
I'm
he's
sure.
blaming the Russians.
He's got to be blaming somebody.
Prokhorov, he forced me.
There you go.
It's his fault. And by the way, it is partially his fault. I acknowledge that.
Prokhorov?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it is.
No doubt.
Well, he came when he bought the team. He said, we're going to win a championship within 5 years.
Yeah.
He did say that. No, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not saying this to be, you know,
no,
to
you're
get
right.
on you. But he did say that.
No, he deserves a lot of the blame, absolutely. But Ben is right. There were a lot of people, myself included, that viewed that trade differently because we could not imagine the Nets becoming the out-and-out dumpster fire that they became. And the Celtics being as good
yep.
as they became.
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.